On today's Tech Help for Churches, what's FeedBurner and why shouldn't you use it? Hi, and welcome again to another episode of Tech Help for Churches. This is the show where every week I help you with new media, social media, the internet for your church. My name is Paul Allen Clifford. I'm your host, and I'd love for you to ask your questions, leave your comments, etc. So just do that below the video. Now, it could be that you're listening to the audio podcast, and if you are, welcome. But you've got a problem in that there's no video for you to leave your comment underneath. Actually, it's not a problem because you can go over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/THFC, short for Tech Help for Churches, and there you can leave your question or comment. So, you might be wondering, well, what's this FeedBurner thing? Let me take you back with me a long way in time, back to 2005. In 2005, podcasting was brand new. It had been around about a year, more or less, but it really was starting to catch on amongst the early adopters like myself. So during that year, there was a problem. You see, Apple added podcasting to iTunes. Now, that's not a problem, except you see the XML standard that they use for the RSS feed to deliver the podcast. And if you need to know what that is, I've got another show on it. But anyway, that's all open source. So Apple decided that there were certain tags that they needed to get certain information to make it the best user experience. So these were proprietary tags. iTunes image, for example, is one of them. iTunes description is another. So before that time, no one was prepared. So when this happened, people didn't know exactly what to do. Well, a technology that was already in place was the at least temporary answer, and that was people were taking their regular RSS feeds, sticking them into a product called FeedBurner, and then FeedBurner was going to augment them in certain ways and make it better for podcasts. That was good. And then iTunes arrived on the scene for podcasting, and so they added in the iTunes tag, and that was good. And then Google bought FeedBurner, and I thought, oh, good. I was so concerned that FeedBurner was going to go away, but now that Google has bought them, it'll never go away. But I was wrong. Now, maybe it will never go away. We don't know, but what we do know is that Google has killed products. Google Reader is one that I used every day for a long time, and they just killed it. Dead. Gone. FeedBurner, you may not have even known it existed. You may not even know that it's a Google product. So, really, it's felt like it could go at any time for 3 or 4 years now. Maybe even longer. So the question is, is it destined for death? Well, maybe. So that's maybe one reason why you wouldn't want to use it, because you don't want to become dependent on a technology that goes away. Another possibility is that it won't go away, but it will cease to be supported. And we're already kind of seeing this. I was just listening to a podcast today, and the guy, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, one of my podcasting mentors, actually. Great guy. I've met him in person a couple of times. Dave was telling me that he had a show on FeedBurner. Well, he wasn't telling me specifically, but he was saying in the show that he had a show that was using FeedBurner, and he went over to check on it, and it hadn't been updated in like 3 weeks. Like, his feed hadn't been updated. And that's not atypical. Sometimes FeedBurner just loses its mojo. It just doesn't sync the stuff. So it's possible that you have that problem. It's also possible that some of the things that they do to the feed cause more problems than they help. You see, now it's 2016. It's over 10 years later after I first started using FeedBurner, and some of the iTunes tag stuff that it adds in actually breaks things for iTunes. It doesn't help anymore. Somewhere something got corrupted, or somewhere something is no longer supported. Doesn't matter the cause. The result is the same. If you use the thing that seems like you should use with a podcast, it just won't work at all. So you've got to avoid that. So occasionally you'll hear someone, even today, saying, okay, when you set up your podcast, make sure you put it through FeedBurner. Now, that's really not good advice anymore. Today, FeedBurner is something that I would avoid unless I had no other choice. And chances are, if you have no other choice, the reason that you have no other choice is because you're podcasting on a non-standard platform. You're using Blogger, for example, which I would recommend you don't do. And you're trying to take the feed that you get from them and submit that to iTunes, and it's just not going to work. So it is possible to do. There are reasons to do it. I just think that it's too risky. I heard another company that was saying, hey, yeah, redirect your feed to us and we'll provide some advertising. That's to a podcaster, redirect your feed to us, that kind of brings something bubbling up inside you that's like Robbie the Robot and Lost in Space. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, danger, danger. No, you don't want to do that, because if they go away, if they mess up your feed, if they decide that they're going to hold on to your feed forever, you've just lost your audience. So you don't want to do that. And someone that suggests, well, to get around that problem, just go through FeedBurner. Well, what if Google decides to kill it? So you can basically have the exact same problem. So that's what I wanted to tell you about some of these problems that in the beginning FeedBurner was the solution for. But in 2016 and beyond, unless something radical changes, I would never, ever, ever advise anyone, if there's any other way, to use FeedBurner, not because it wasn't at one time a good thing, but because right now it really causes more problems than it solves. Well, I hope that helped you. If you like this content, you'd probably like my email newsletter, so head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/gifts, G-I-F-T-S, and pick up your copy today, along with a free church tech training gift. Also, don't forget that this content is provided to you free of charge, and that's something that I love to do. But if you do need some church tech training, head over to my store, trinitydigitalmedia.com/store, and see what I have available, including a subscription to Church Tech U, which provides all the church tech training resources that I have in one location. And if you, this is a little hint, if you go there before the end of February 2016, right now, because I had a problem earlier, I've just made it 50% off. So you can get in for only $9.97 a month or $97 a year and get all my resources, nearly $80 worth of books, $100 worth of courses that I do sell separately, and several other courses that are in development or are available nowhere else. Until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Go out and change eternity.